Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study. Hopefully I'm coming through loudly and clearly. I won't be able to check in with Pastor Murray as he is on vacation this week with his lovely wife, Lisa. So hopefully those of you who are here, if you could just, one of you could let me know, just confirm that the audio is coming through loudly and clearly. This evening, God willing, we will cover two more letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and I'll just share my screen here. So we are now up to the letter Lamed and Mem. So that means we'll be covering 16 verses in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. I'll go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and then we will, God willing, get into the study for this evening. Loving Heavenly Father, we're just in awe of you, Lord. We're in awe of your faithfulness. We're in awe of your wisdom. We're in awe, Father, of your chesed love, which is brought so clearly into focus in the book of Psalms, and particularly in this Psalm 119. So much wisdom here, Father. And we pray that it will inspire us and strengthen us so that we may inspire and strengthen each other and be faithful and loyal to Jesus Christ until the end. We praise you, Lord, and we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have to study together the Word of Scripture. Thank you, Father. We ask your blessing in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let me just confirm that the audio is good. Thank you, Sister Donna. Very, very good. Velma, Sister Velma. And also Sister Becky. Very, very good. Okay, so let us get into today's passage, Psalm 119. And I wanted, just before getting into the psalm, to just open with Proverbs, because it really does underline the wisdom of God's word. And I will just open with this proverb: counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. And obviously, Christ is shepherding us into this role of governing the earth's affairs with his wisdom, because the leaders of this world have gone insane, and they are destroying everything that previous generations have set up, and even God's own creation. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Riches and honor are with me. Yes, durable riches and righteousness. So we are in a very strange time, a very unusual, unprecedented time in the history of mankind. Let's just resolve to be faithful to the end, no matter what. When the elite say you will own nothing, they mean it. And they are really moving at an accelerated pace to remove the concept of private property, which is a biblical concept. And so any riches in this world are fleeting, even for the elite. They think they can hold on to these riches that they're accumulating. It's fleeting. But as the psalmist said, more the precious than silver and gold are the riches of God's word. And so let's get into God's word for this evening, Psalm 119. We'll begin at Psalm verse 89, the Hebrew word lamed, or letter lamed. So this is an acrostic. Every verse, the eight verses in this stanza, begin with the Hebrew letter lamed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's instructions, his teaching, it's settled forever. There's no way around this. He says that the word that he has spoken will not return unto him void. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. You have established the earth, and it abides. I find this a fascinating verse, given just what's going on in our world today. And this climate crisis and climate alarmists, where the psalmist understands something about God. He has made promises that involve the Earth. So when these climate alarmists say that if we don't act now, the world will be destroyed in less than 10 years, this is antichristic talk. This does not align itself with the Word of God. Puny little man on the earth thinks that God is not present. It is God who created the earth. It is God who has promised the earth as the inheritance to the saints. And so his word abides forever. It is settled in heaven, so it cannot be tampered with. We can't. Who can go to heaven and edit God's word? It's settled. All the promises that he has made are settled. Abraham understood this, and he's the father of the faithful. God's faithfulness is unto all generations. Oh, here we are in our generation, but every generation before us, God has been faithful to his word. And he will continue to be until the end. Your faithfulness is unto all generations. You have established, so his word is settled in heaven, and he has established the earth. The earth is established. So running up and down, climate crisis, the cows are going to destroy the earth, therefore we must destroy the cows. Sorry, that contradicts God's word. God says the earth abides because he has plans for the earth. And there's nothing that anybody on the earth can do to alter God's plans for the earth. And so we're in this climate crisis where we must now cull cattle because of the methane that they produce, which is apparently poisoning the atmosphere. And therefore the 90% of cows must be slaughtered in order to protect the climate. Well, what does God's word say? Genesis 1 and verse 24. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind. In other words, let cows reproduce. Do not interfere with God's creation. Let the cattle reproduce after its kind. And creeping thing and beast of the earth after its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and cows, cattle, after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after its kind. So these cows that God created, did they not have a digestive system when God created them? Or were they created just the way they are now, eating grass, digesting it, and creating manure? And creating methane, gas, in that process. And God saw that it was good. So the cycle of cows being born, being raised, consuming grass, digesting it, eliminating waste product, and that waste product being recycled into the earth's atmosphere, God did that. And when God created that cycle, he pronounced it good. And now we have these arrogant individuals who are coming along and saying the cow is evil and must be destroyed, and forcing farmers to cull their cattle because of this cycle that God created and said it was good. God established the earth, and this cycle will continue. When Jesus Christ returns, this cycle will be established. Now, regarding the cows, God says, again, we have to be very sensitive to antichristic language, to language that takes us away from the word of God. Regarding the cows, God says, speak unto the children of Israel. This is Leviticus 11, verse 2. This is the book regarding holiness, how to be holy before the Lord. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parts the hoof and is cloven footed and chews the cud among the beasts, that you shall you eat. And now these very powerful elite who are drunk on their own power, which we gave them, we supported them becoming so powerful, they now come along and say, we must not eat the cattle. They will tell us what we can and cannot eat. So they have put themselves as the state power above the word of God. In fact, they've put themselves above God. They have become God, telling us what is good to eat and what is not good to eat. when God has said, this is good. And he created it, said it's good, and said, this is what you can eat, this is what you should not eat. Regarding his word being established in heaven, so the earth abides forever, and that whole cycle that he has set up on the earth, that is, he pronounced it good and not to be interfered with. Regarding the fact that his word is in heaven and it cannot be tampered with, Revelation 1:1, the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave unto him to show us, his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And all these things that he shows us, these things cannot be tampered with. His word is established. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. In Revelation 21 and verse 1, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. So there is coming an end to this cycle, and we'll come back to this later in this part of the psalm, that the earth is established forever, but it's going to be renewed. The surface of the earth is going to be burned up, and there's going to be a new earth that goes into eternity, and there's going to be a new heaven that goes into eternity. But nothing can tamper with God's plan, including, no matter how powerful these men on earth are. So back to Psalm 119 and verse 91. Regarding the heavens and the earth, he says, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. And I really should have highlighted this, because we are highlighting those words that are synonyms for God's law. God's instructions. They continue this day. Climate alarmists notwithstanding, the earth continues this day according to his ordinances, his instructions, which nobody can tamper with. For all of the creation are God's servants. They do what he says. So these people who are trying to terrify us with climate alarmism, it contradicts God's word. In fact, here in Isaiah and verse 21 of chapter 40, he says, haven't you known? Haven't you heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? This is we should read this to the climate alarmists. Hasn't this been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth. They're thousands of years old, and the text clearly communicates that the earth is a sphere. When everybody thought the earth was flat, Isaiah makes it clear, the creator of this universe made the earth a sphere, and he sits upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. So this is how God sees these powerful humans who are now colluding and uniting to control and enslave the earth and eliminate much of mankind. God just sees them as grasshoppers. They have a will. They have a plan. Agenda 2030, Agenda 2050, they have a plan, they have a will, they're exerting that will. God sees them as grasshoppers. His will override theirs. His word will override theirs. The psalmist understands this. He sees the inhabitants of the earth as grasshoppers. He it is that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. This is the God that we are serving. This is our creator. He brings princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. So his word will not return unto him vain or void, but the princes of the earth, the judges of the earth, he makes them nothing. So we must not be terrified, as terrifying as they seek to be. We, as God's servants, must be fixated on his word, on his promises, and on his will. Psalm 119, verse 92. So having established this, the permanence of God's word, the irresistibility of his will, he says, unless your law had been my pleasure, my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Again, we don't know what this affliction is, but from previous verses, it was serious and it was life-threatening. And he clearly, again, he's establishing here that it was life-threatening. He would have perished in whatever this affliction was. But he came through it because God's law was his delight. And I think this is the way we have to think in order to navigate the dark days ahead, that we do not look to man for salvation. We do not look to man for safety from anything. We look to the Almighty. And in doing so, he will deliver us. But the law must be our pleasure. We just love his word. We study it continually. And there's a deep joy that we derive from this relationship that we have with God and his word. He says, if this had not been the case, if the law was not my pleasure, I would have perished in my affliction. And this reminds me of the apostle Paul. He says to the Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says here, I'm sorry, this is not the, I'm going to cover this, but I wanted to put this somewhere else, just rushing this evening. He says, salute, I'll come back to this. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you. In fact, yeah, this is where I wanted to put this. Chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It's this part here that he's in Rome, he's under house arrest, and all the saints from Rome are greeting the saints in Philippi, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So the Praetorian Guard, those that are serving Caesar, because of Paul's commitment and passion for God's word, they were converted. And now the Praetorian Guard, servants of Rome who have become Christians because of Paul's passion for God's word are now supporting Paul and sending greetings to the saints. So this is where I was seeing this in Psalm 119 verse 92, that if the law had not been Paul's delight, his pleasure, he would have perished in his affliction. But because of his passion for God's word, he was protected. So much so, the very guards who were guarding him converted. This is, again, how we have to understand. We walk by faith and not by sight. Coming back to Psalm 119, verse 93, he says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them you have quickened me, or brought me back to life. So he was on the cusp, he was on the edge, whatever it was, but he stuck to God's word, and he followed the instructions in God's word. And by doing that, he was brought back to the land of the living. Again, we just have to understand this experience that the psalmist had and meditate on it and realize that for those of us who do live through the very dark days ahead, we are going to be saying the exact same thing. To be successful, we must never forget. In fact, that's why Revelation says, blessed is he who reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things, or we could say keep those precepts that are written therein, for the time is at hand. So there is a love affair that we have to have, a passion that we have to have for God's instructions to get through the dark affliction. He says, I am thine, save me, for I have sought your instructions, I have sought your precepts. God says, Christ says when he was on earth, regarding the relationship we must have with his word, in his prayer to the Father, he says, I've given them your word. And so here we are 2,000 years later, one generation passing it on to the next, to the next, to the next. Here we are, the same word. I've given them your word, and the world hates them. That's where the persecution comes from, and he warned us. You know, they don't hate you personally, they hate Christ. And because we follow Christ, that's why they hate us. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. So we are subject to the same level of affliction and persecution that we see in Psalm 119. Because the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. How does he keep us from the evil? by us paying attention to his precepts, by us seeking his law, by us seeking to be instructed by him, by us acknowledging his ways. He says that he should, not that we should be taken out of the world, so we have to function in this world, a world that hates us, hates Christ, but that we will be kept from evil. This is the power of God's word. It will keep us from evil. We will be right in the midst of a very dark world, but we will be clean and unspotted because of the power of God's word. And this is what the psalmist is reflecting on, the power of God's words and instructions in a time of evil and danger. He says, Christ says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. This, I think we all understand this. This is how we are sanctified, through his truth, which is his word. And this, we're seeing the psalmist having this wonderful perception and understanding. Back to Psalm 119, verse 95. Again, we will be able to say this exact sentiment. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. So again, we walk by faith, not by sight. The times are changing. Some of us are going to really suffer very severe persecution. Some of us are going to see our loved ones suffer very severe persecution. We're seeing the canaries in the coal mine dying off. That means something's going on. That's sort of the early warning signal. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. So we know this is coming. All those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The wicked have waited for me. Why? To destroy me. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory. No, that's God's word. They hate God's word. And therefore they hate anybody who loves God's word. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. But I'll consider thy testimonies. And again, this puts me in mind of the Apostle Paul. He says here in Acts 9, or Luke writes in Acts 9, verse 23. This is a study of the book of Acts is in the archive. If you haven't studied that with us, it's available at BibleAcademy.com. He says, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Not unlike the wicked have waited to destroy him, but he considers God's testimonies. So Acts 9, verse 23. After that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. They're pretty serious about their intent. He's not getting away as far as they're concerned. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. So they had so much love and respect for this teacher that they would not allow him to be killed. And so he escaped in a basket, kind of like Moses here. Despite the fact that they were intent to kill him, lying in wait, watching the gates day and night, just waiting for him, waiting for the opportunity. And yet God enables him to escape, not unlike the psalmist who considered God's testimony. And that certainly was the Apostle Paul, taught by Christ directly and considered his testimonies. Verse 96, back to Psalm 119. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. And this is where I was thinking of the Revelation 21 passage that we read earlier, that John saw a new heavens and a new earth. And the old heaven and the old earth were passed away. They died. They perished. And then there was a new heaven and a new earth. So the earth was cleansed and renewed. He says, I've seen an end of all perfection. So God's creation is it was all pronounced good. And yet it's all coming to an end. And it will be renewed. But it's all coming to an end. But God's commandment will never end. It's exceedingly broad. It has no limits. Christ himself said this. Heaven and earth shall pass away. There will be a new heaven, and the old heaven and earth will die. There will be a new heaven and earth, despite the fact that this heaven and earth, God pronounced them good when he created them. But my words shall not pass away. Jesus Christ is God. the Logos, the Creator, the Almighty. You know, in Revelation, some people want to argue that Christ is not God. In Revelation, John says in chapter 1, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. From who? From him which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to describe Jesus Christ as the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. And he's washed us in his own blood to make us priests and kings. But then he says, Christ himself says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And then Christ himself describes himself as him which is and which was and which is to come. So God the Father is he that is and was and is to come. And then Christ describes himself as he that is and was and is to come. And in case we had any doubt, Christ then adds, describing himself, the Almighty. That Christ himself describes himself as the Almighty. So the Almighty has spoken, and the Almighty Christ says, heaven, there will be an end to the perfection of heaven and earth. But my words are exceeding broad. My words shall never pass away. So that is Lamed, just the praising of God's word, acknowledging the wisdom in God's word. We're going to continue that now with the Hebrew letter Mem. So again, it's an acrostic, so all eight verses will begin with this Hebrew letter Mem. And I think it's obviously a mnemonic device, a memory aid, but certainly incredible poetry and grasp of God's word to be able to do this. Mem. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So there is such a deep wisdom in Torah. And you know, how love I thy law. I think it would be very limiting to say this is the Ten Commandments. He's saying, oh, how love I thy Torah. The Torah is instructions. Oh, how I love God's instructions. I meditate on his instructions continually. From the moment I wake up until I put my head to rest. If I wake up in the middle of the night, it's just constantly in my mind. The wisdom of God's instructions, the intricacy, the synergy, the longevity of God's word. He's just constantly in awe of the wisdom of God. He says, you, through your commandments, and it's going to raise himself above three different groups of people. The first one. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. For your commandments are ever with me. So this is amazing. These enemies are there, but because of your commandments, I'm actually wiser than them. They have no clue what they're doing. In fact, again, the Apostle Paul, he says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And boy, are we seeing that today. You know, that the Dr. Fauci's and the others of them who think they're so wise and their judgments are awful, that they're actually stupid. They're destructive. They're illogical. They're self-contradicting. And this is the wise of this world. This is who you have to present to us as your wise. The psalmist says, through your commandments, you've made me wiser than my enemies. He says, as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Proverbs says, my son, walk not you in the way with them. That's the wicked. Refrain your foot from their path. They have no clue what they're doing. Refrain your foot from, don't go along with them. Refrain your foot from their path. Psalm 119, verse 102. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. So the scripture, like, remember the scriptures and from whom you have been taught. So we're not going to depart from God's judgments, for you have taught me. And that taught me is like, again, Torah, God's instructions. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And I think we've all experienced this, where there's just such a delight in the understanding that we're gaining of God's word, of his wisdom, of his plan, of his counsel. It's overwhelming. And to see that we are included into this incredible plan, it's just overwhelming at times. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. We cannot participate in falsehood. Live not by lies. Every way that is false, we want to exclude ourselves from that. So that is Psalm 119. That takes us up to verse 104, and a celebration of the wisdom of God's word. So as we march through this psalm, hopefully we're seeing just how the depth of respect and awe the psalmist has for Torah, for God's instructions, and also the faithfulness of God and the power of his word. So this is, I think, just for us, brethren, just a wonderful way for us to gain strength and momentum in our faith in the Lord. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He's the faithful witness. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And it's in him that we place our trust, not in man's wisdom. God bless you, brethren.